flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
There goes the runner. Fly ball down the right field line. Tucker comes on. Kyle Tucker. This time they finish the job. The Houston Astros, world champions.
The 3 times that I've pitched in Wrigley, one of it was like an absolute heat wave that came through, and the umpire had an ice towel around his neck, and the other times have been absolutely freezing. But, you know, playing in Minnesota for 5 years, I know how to pitch in the cold, and hitters tend to don't really like to hit in the cold either, so that's also nice. But the summer, you know, up there in Chicago, as you guys know, is unbelievable. And, you know, you get a chance to get out of the Houston heat in the summer, you might want to take it a little bit, I guess. But I'm excited to be up there. I'm excited to meet everybody. I'm excited to see the fans, see what the organization has to offer. And, you know, I've heard nothing but amazing things about it, and, you know, from post and past players. So it's going to be really fun, and I can't wait.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
We are happy that you are hanging out. It's been a fun show today, and we are glad that you have been a part of it. It's Spiegel and Holmes. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. We spent a little time talking about the Bears today, talking about the expectation level and whether fans should have to wait, how they're going to react if things don't go well immediately.
The possible return of moral victories as a template with which to experience the season and how that would feel as Ben Johnson turns the roster over. It's a good topic by you. Interesting conversation.
We talked with Kurt Warner today as well. Joe Cowley came on and trolled for a little bit. Charles Tillman ate up the 4 o'clock hour, and it was terrific.
Legendary, epic, wonderful stuff with Charles Tillman.
Oh, And by the way, we got stuff for you too. So you should check out the Odyssey app and hit the rewind function on it, because that'll help you listen back to some of the stuff that we had. But also, how would you and three friends like to go to Vegas for the first weekend of the tournament in March?
Let's go.
The Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is easy to enter. Just download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the score each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry for a chance to win this unforgettable trip for four, including travel accommodations, $5,000 for each guest for the ultimate viewing experience in Vegas, and much, much more.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
That sounds...
We didn't do that.
I don't know.
We should do this.
Sounds really good.
We should make a trip to Vegas during the tournament, maybe.
Okay.
Right, I know a place.
I know a place, too.
Yeah, Circa.
Yeah, let's go there.
Just go there.
I would be down
for
that. All
right, we'll see if we can get something like that done. Ryan Pressly is official. He's so official that he was on the score.
Yeah, he did a Zoom with media and then came on the score. And it's really interesting to hear from the new Cubs closer today. We referenced it yesterday. The relationship with the Astros GM, Dana Brown, had deteriorated terribly. So that's why he ended up in this position where, like, he was willing to waive the no trade clause, but it had to be the right spot and it had to be the right promise. When the Astros signed Josh Hader, Ryan Pressly lost his closer gig. He wanted to be a closer again. Is he going to be the closer in Chicago? But I don't know, because teams oftentimes will just throw a big pile of arms at it. We've been talking about what to do. I thought it was pretty telling what Ryan Presley's answer was to Dan Bernstein in a classic Bernsteinian question that I enjoyed. Ryan Presley's answer told the tale in terms of what the role would be.
What, if any, guarantee did you get about being the guy to get the saves? Or are you knowingly signing up for a very modern approach to high leverage versus low leverage? And that if you are trusted to clearly be an important getter of outs, that those outs may come in the fifth or the sixth or the seventh?
You know, obviously, postseason's completely different, right? It doesn't matter who pitches what role, as long as you get 27 outs with a win. That's all that really matters. But leading up to the postseason, you know, I've only talked to Skip one time. You know, we haven't really discussed. It was more of an introduction, and I'm sure we're going to get a little bit more into depth whenever we get down to camp. You know, I just, you know, they told me that I was, you know, going to be the ninth inning role, but, you know, in my mindset, I'm going to go into camp competing for that role, because you obviously know everything is not guaranteed in this game. So I just want to have that mindset going in there, just of competing and always competing. So again, in the long run, I just want to help this team win. And, you know, the goal is to not just win the division, but the entire thing. And, you know, the experience that me and Tuck can bring, you know, Dansby's been there as well, winning a World Series with the Braves. So we have some guys on this team that have been there and done it. And I think, you know, just adding more of us to that clubhouse is, you're going to bring that culture there. And once you get that culture established, and it's going to be a hard team to beat.
Why do you have that bemused look on your face?
Because he immediately takes it to the truth of the way that relief pitchers think about this stuff all around the league. Postseason, do what you want. But during the season, I make my contract money
doing that thing that you need.
I am a closer. And when you tell me I'm not a closer in Houston last year for the season, it changes the entire trajectory of my financial career. And because the league is such that it does not value me the same without those save stats. So I thought his answer...
Should a player react that way?
Well, look what he did. He tried. He's a veteran. He tried to deftly make it about team goals and winning. And he is going to sacrifice the ego and sacrifice the stat when it comes time for the postseason. But damn you, during the season, this is a hill that I will die on. It's why you wanted to be traded. It's why the relationship deteriorated in Houston. And it's why he held out and needed the assurance from the Cubs that that's what his role is going to be during the regular season. You could argue with whether that should happen, and you could disagree with the ego, disagree with all of that. But this is the reality of how players think about it in that role in all around MLB.
So overall, I agree with Presley, okay, about that. And you and I have talked about this, and we'll continue to talk about it, because I think it's fascinating when it comes to baseball on the idea of to us, 27, 28, 29, wait, what am I doing? To 25, 26, 27, that's hard to get, okay? I believe in that.
Well, see, what you're talking about, the human aspects, which we love and we'll talk about, he's talking about the financial and business aspects.
I know, and he's well within his rights to talk about that. And I do think there are some people who hear it and go, I don't know if I necessarily like that. The only time I don't like that is, like, you look at the situation with Kimbrel, and you go, you used to be that guy. But for right now, you're not that guy.
Uh-huh.
Or in the situation with him being an eighth inning guy, which I always thought was a mistake.
Hey, man, well, look.
You have to start him as the ninth inning guy.
When they went and got Kimbrel, when David Ross went and caught him, because at the time he was an assistant in the front office, and they got Kimbrel to agree to come, Kimbrel was holding out for the exact same thing. The assurance that he could be a closer while he was clearly already in decline.
And I'm speaking more of the Hendricks-Kimbrel thing over on the south side, where Hendricks seemed, at least publicly, pretty flexible. Like, wherever you're going to put me, I don't care. Like, if I'm the eighth inning guy, I'm the eighth inning guy. I've done that before. I've been the ninth inning guy. Kimbrel clearly needed to be the ninth inning guy. And you saw it for whatever reason. Whenever he went out there in the eighth inning, you had a bad feeling. Mm-hmm. When he was out there in the seventh inning, not that you had a good feeling when he was in the ninth either, but you just kind of knew it wasn't going to work. So I understand both from a contract standpoint and from a human element kind of where he's at on this. I do. I truly do. You just have to be careful because you don't want people thinking that you're not bought in to whatever is necessary today.
Well, but it's good stuff. Here's where it gets even more layered to me. He was bad last year.
Mm-hmm.
By comparison to all those years when he was the closer and he was dominant, all of a sudden last year, what happened? The velocity went down. His pitch mix changed. Things were different last year with the fastball usage.
Change up usage.
The fastball shape. For instance, the fastball usage, he used it a lot in 2022 with mixed results. He used it a lot less in 2023, got better results. But then last year, all of a sudden, the fastball usage went up. And why the hell was he using the fastball more? And what does this mean for the overall decline? I think the answer in his mind, and I think you might be open to the possibility, is here in his answer to Bernsie about the pitch mix.
Honestly, I think last year I was battling a lot of mechanical stuff, and I'll be the first one to tell you I wasn't really myself. You know, my velo was down, you know, just things weren't really going my way, and it felt like an upstream battle last year whenever I took the mound, and you know, I was really just kind of just throwing everything at the wall and just, you know, hoping something would stick. And you know, whether it be fastball usage going up, slider usage going down, changeup usage going up, you know, I was literally just trying to do anything and everything to put up a zero. And you know, and when you're battling stuff mechanically, it's even harder. So,
is that fixed?
Yeah, you know, so I've been working with Kevin Poppy all offseason. I feel like we've cleaned up about 99% of it. So I'm excited to get down to camp, throw to some hitters, and really see where we're at. And I'm excited to work with Tommy Hotovy and you know, bounce some ideas off him. So I'm excited and seeing what these guys can bring to the table and what I can bring to the table and see what we can create.
So Lawrence, what he's saying is his head got out of whack because he didn't like the role and he felt like he was messed with. And you know baseball, whether you're a hitter or a pitcher, some tiny little thing can get messed up when your head's out of whack. And all of a sudden he's desperate, throwing anything he can at the wall, some fastball, whatever. I don't know. I just got to try and get outs. And so we fell apart. So what is mental? What's physical? And definition of role and relationship and a GM being honest with him and all of that? It's complicated, isn't it?
The mind controlling the body. Like, we talk about how powerful the mind is. And we usually say that like in a positive way. Like, oh, our minds just haven't expanded to the point of what we could really do with everything that's inside of that gray matter. And most of us deal with some sort of anxiety or depression, and you realize like how powerful it is and how powerful suggestion can be sometimes to you. There's something gets stuck in there and it's like, oh, I'm not good enough to close.
Right. So now,
am I good enough to be here?
Dude, exactly. Exactly. Well, I better give it a little more, and all of a sudden you're off your game.
I'll try something. Uh-huh. And then you're like, oh, that doesn't feel good. Now I can't get back
right
to where I was before.
And his fastball sucked last year compared to other fastballs. It didn't have the carry, didn't have that absence of drop like it did in previous years. All of a sudden it was way flatter. Maybe he was trying too hard. Maybe he was pushing, whatever. Mm. So it's fascinating. So this is a guy who clearly believes that if you tell him he's a closer and give him the job, he's going to be as good as he was as a closer. And that's the gamble the Cubs are taking, too.
I think it's a good gamble, though. When you look at his history and the fact that, I mean, Porter Hodge, fine. I thought did pretty well for himself last year. I think that they've probably told him he's the guy unless he loses it.
I don't think he does. I don't think he waives his no trade clause unless he's been told that.
Yeah.
And that's in his first answer. Well, postseason's different. I've only had one conversation. But no, he wouldn't come here unless he's going to get to close.
You're going to get this opportunity. Don't make a fool out of us for giving you this opportunity.
But he has to dance the dance semantically. There was a moment in the Zoom when he was asked about him and Porter Hodge, who you just brought up. In the back end of the bullpen, he said, I think we're going to be a great 1-2 punch. That's a way to say it without saying he gets the eighth, I get the ninth, or I get the ninth. You don't have to be a bag and say that out loud.
Right.
But you can give a nod to your teammate, your young teammate.
Hey, who is going to push you. If I'm Porter Hodge, I'm not walking into camp next week being like, I'm not the dude. I'm going to go out there and give everything that I have, too.
And at some point during the year, it's going to be Craig Counsell's job to say, we thought this was going to work with you knowing the job, but the truth is Porter's better, and I got to give the job back to Porter. Or not. Maybe you won't have to do that.
It would be great if that wasn't a thing.
But from the get-go, he's the guy. He's the guy. And I just thought, in those two drops, you heard the mindset from the business perspective and the mindset from the struggling player perspective that believes he can find it again.
Wow, Porter Hodge was a 1-3 war last year in not a lot of appearances.
No, he found it. He definitely found it.
And it's good for him.
And it's a crazy example of how it can work these days. I mean, I remember when Porter Hodge showed up in the clubhouse, we were like, who's that guy? I did one of those 2-minute interviews before a pregame, like, who are you? I mean, I'd done the research, but it was like, it says your fastball is really weird and it kind of acts different than other fastballs. He's like, that's just my fastball. It's just what it is, you know? Like one of those get to know me things.
Is a Ryan Buckvich moment? What type of pitcher are you? Right-handed. it's one of my favorite drops of all time.
The great Chris Ronji trying to learn what he can.
For a lot of the fans that may not have heard of you or don't know much about Ryan Buckvich, what exactly is it about? What kind of pitcher are you?
Right-handed.
That is helpful to get that kind of information.
Oh, my God.
According to our Bruce Levine, the Cubs are hanging around.
On Bregman. As they should. He's a free agent, and they kind of need a third baseman.
The whole idea was that this trade for the Astros could free up money so they could stay below the tax apron.
And get Bregman back.
But it's not done. It's not done yet.
Okay, so you're a Shaw guy. How would you feel about this as far as Shaw's development if the Cubs can get Bregman?
I would love it. I would love it. If they could sign Bregman, or I wanted him to even like take a flyer on somebody like Moncada.
The Moncada thing is really interesting to me.
But there's all sorts of red flags on Moncada. Well,
of course there are. And yellow shoes.
I would love it. If Bregman came to them and said, you know, I'd like 2 years, $80 million, they would sign that immediately. I think they would sign that right away. But that third year is when it gets sketchy. So that third year when everybody thinks there's going to be a work stoppage is when it gets sketchy.
So you could go 2-1, right?
You could go,
let's go 2-1 a club option.
That's a maybe. 5 is a no.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that because he's, what, 31?
I think that's exactly what he is. But in terms of Matt Shaw, I'd be cool with Matt Shaw being at your AAA opening day third baseman, playing a bunch, and then coming up and being depth for you.
He will be 31 as the season starts, March 30th.
As the season starts.
Starts a little earlier for the Cubs, and then they go back to Arizona for a little bit. And then they start the season in Arizona. I think that's what that's their plan, right? Where they go to Japan, then they come back. There's a couple more games and get reacclimated.
Yeah.
But then you stay put, which is exactly what Major League Baseball should do if you can. Like if a team goes over there,
come back and chill for a little bit.
Yeah, you should get to honestly, you should take one from Cactus, one from Grapefruit. And you should start that other team in Florida if you can. But this works out well. And the Dodgers, I would imagine, are starting at home, right?
I don't know.
Let me look. That's the way you would do it to protect them from, you're going to come back from Japan and then you're going to go out on the road. That doesn't seem very fair.
Speaking of the Dodgers, you see the Yankees complained about the Dodgers spending? Hank Steinbrenner,
it's too damn bad.
Said nobody can spend like the Dodgers. So even the Yankees are complaining about the Dodgers reality, Cup fans.
No one wants to hear it from
nobody,
the Yankees.
Nobody does.
No one.
I know. But it is true that the Dodgers are on a completely different playing field.
Yeah. So Major League Baseball did them the solid,
they
too.
Did?
They come back. They have a couple games. And then they're in Los Angeles. Whether it's playing the Angels or at home against the Tigers. So that's well done by MLB to make sure that there's at least a little bit of getting back into rhythm after making that trip.
There's there's an NFL issue that you did not used to have a problem with, but now all of a sudden you do. Not all of a sudden, I should say.
My position has been evolving on this, and now it's gotten to the point where I'm like, yeah, this needs to happen quickly. I have now jumped into a camp, which I believe you are part of. You might even be the scout master at this camp.
We welcome you. There's plenty of room for you on the raft.
As this story has changed, the more I'm like, yeah, we need to get rid of that. We'll explain what it is next on the
story. Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Score.